small wins continue to build momentum and build traction in your own mind of like, okay, this is possible. Okay, I'm doing this. And then not only the small wins, because you could have small wins and just not ever write it down, not ever remember it. It's the process of actually writing that down and tracking it.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Multifamily Money Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Winslow. Today's Multifamily Monday episode, we've got a great guest. His name is Joshua Ferrari with Ferrari Capital. And on today's episode, he leaves some really good nuggets. Get out, if you're not driving, of course, I would get out your notepad and your pen because he really gives some great nuggets. Josh works in the aerospace industry, so he has a W-2 full-time job while syndicating and investing in multifamily real estate. Kind of breaks down how he's able to do that, working a 9-to-5 and then invest on the side. And he talks about how it's important to be intentional with your W-2 job and then intentional with his business and in investing in real estate, and how you just want to be intentional in everything you do and just how powerful that is. He breaks down kind of some of the tips and tricks and software that he uses to help him throughout the day to do that. So this is just a really great episode where he does a lot of nuggets to help people out there just be more intentional in their life and be able to hit the goals that they set forth. And also probably one of the coolest things he talks about is how he was able to raise $6 million in 30 days. Yeah, you heard me right. $6 million in 30 days. Doing that early on in your career is super impressive. If you're a veteran of the business, that's kind of nothing. You're probably doing that every time you raise a deal, anywhere from $6 to $15, $20 million in a few days. But to do it so early on, it's really impressive. And he kind of breaks down how he was able to do that. So again, I'd get out those notebooks, those pens, and take down some notes because this is a good one. And again, if you guys want to learn more about what I do, what we do at Greenbrier Capital Group, please visit our website, greenbriercg.com. One, we have a great resource out there that kind of breaks down my background of working on Wall Street and why I believe real estate is a better investment. I break down kind of the secrets I learned on Wall Street and why that average annual return they tell you is actually not the return you're getting. So you can pick that up there. You can also join our deal room if you ever want to see some of our investment opportunities. That's how you do it. So check that out. And as always, you can find me on all the social medias, Sean Winslow on Instagram and then on LinkedIn as well. All right, let's get into this one. Hey, Josh, welcome to the show, my friend.
Man, I am stoked to be here, even though I forgot this is a podcast. I'm still stoked.
Well, I'm sure it's still going to be a good one. Usually the ones, you know, that are just off the cuff are the best, but I appreciate you taking time out of your hectic schedule because we'll get into it, but I know you're living a hectic schedule right now.
Yeah, man, definitely. But it's good. Hectic isn't always bad. I mean, it can be, depending on how you're spending your time, but I'm trying to make sure I'm making the most of my time. We just got a deal under contract at the end of last week, and we just got an LOI accepted today. So
congrats.
Hoping that my time is being well spent.
Well, it sounds like it is. If you're getting two under contract in this market, that's amazing. But yeah, let's just get into it. So Josh is a multifamily investor, obviously, but he's also in aerospace. And that's why I was referencing a hectic schedule. So if you could just share with the listeners a little bit about yourself, the past, how you got to where you are, and what got you to multifamily, that'd be great.
Yeah, so I got into real estate investing about 3 years ago. I had just moved to Mobile, Alabama from Memphis, originally from Memphis, Tennessee. Went to college there to get my airframe and power plant license to be an aircraft technician for what I thought was going to be a long-standing career in aviation. So then basically got right out of a college, right out of AMP school, and got a job down in Mobile, down here for about 6 months. Had just recently gotten married in November, and then rolls around January of 2018. My dad calls me up one day, sometime early in January, and says, "Hey, we're going to start flipping houses." I'm like, "What are you talking about? Why? Like, what do you mean flipping houses? I know you guys aren't wealthy. Where's the money coming from?" I had all these questions. And so he starts piecing everything together for me, telling me that there's all these different creative strategies and that I can make more than my annual salary in a few months in one deal. And I'm like, this is not real life. Are you serious? And so then after like a 4-hour conversation, interest was piqued in the idea of real estate. So then fast forward, we ended up getting into wholesaling. We tried that for about 5 to 6 months. It didn't really work. We never actually even closed a deal. We just spent a bunch of money on marketing. We're like, well, we like the passive income lifestyle anyhow. We want to get into that strategy. Let's just go and buy something. So we ended up buying a fourplex 2 months after that, house hacked it and syndicated it. But I use the word syndicate very lightly because it was literally just me calling my dad up, telling him, hey, we got this awesome fourplex we're looking at buying, but we need help with the down payment. You want to help us out and get a piece of equity in exchange? And he was like, yeah, cool, let's do it. So it wasn't any like SEC filings or distributions, or it was just whenever we sold it, he got his piece of equity. So I learned so much from doing that fourplex that it's like unfathomable. I mean, we literally did everything ourselves, from realtor to contractor to property manager to inspector to plumber, electrician. I mean, but that wasn't the plan from the get-go. The plan was to hire everything out, and we thought we had everything planned correctly. But then doing a 203K FHA loan, it took 5 months to fire the first contractor and hire the next one. I'm like, this property cannot sit doing nothing for 5 months. So I'm like, if I can fix an airplane, I can fix a house. We're going to fix this house right up and make it happen. So that was a massive learning curve. Learned so much of what not to do, what to do, how to do things, how to streamline things, how to negotiate, so many different things. So from that, I took my experience and my knowledge and continued learning from there, going to the local RIA meetings, podcasts, books, and figured out that multifamily syndication, like figured out what it really was, syndication. And the fact that I could scale and I could have 20 some houses or units underneath one roof instead of a bunch of different roofs. This is it. This is what I want to do. Other people can come alongside with me. This is for sure what I want to get into. So then I ended up meeting my first business partner, and we ended up closing a 21 unit single family portfolio deal that we syndicated, which again, weird because it was single family portfolio. Like, hey, we're trying to get into multifamily. But he was like, I just kind of fell in my lap. Let's do it. And I was kind of like a fly on the wall on that deal. I really didn't know what was happening. He had had the decade of experience in flipping houses and all this other stuff. This was like one of his first actual syndications, as well as my first legitimate syndication. So I was kind of watching him, seeing what he did. And I also had a multifamily mentor at the time. And so that he was really helping me out on what the ins and outs of everything were. So right after that, we said, okay, we need to hyper-focus into multifamily because that's what we need to do. So then fast forward to today, we closed a 42-unit complex at the end of last year and then got another 34 units under contract right before we closed that one. And the 34 units should close on Wednesday.
Oh, congrats. That's exciting.
I don't know when this will release, but March 3rd is our scheduled closing date. And so that'll put us about 90 units after having sold a few properties here and there. And our goal this year for 2021 is to reach 1,000 units.
Look at you. I like that goal, man. It's funny you say that. I was talking to my business partner, my head of acquisitions, and we were at the end of last year, talking about goals. And he was like, yeah, let's add like 2 to 250 units this year. And I'm like, no, our goal is 500 more units this year. And he looked at me like I had a few heads. And I was like, no, you got to be ambitious. You got to set high goals. I'm out there to hit those goals, and I'd rather miss a big goal than hit a tiny goal.
Yeah.
If I'm somewhere in between, that's better than where I could have been. So that's great that you have that ambitious goal. And based on the conversations we've had, I know you can obtain that. You just have that right personality to do that. But I want to hit on a point that you made. On your first deal, you thought you were going to third party and get it out to other hands to manage it, but you ended up hitting pretty much every aspect with your own hands. And I think that's important. I did the same on some of my first deals. And I know the dream is to, at the end of the day, to have a portfolio of properties and someone else manages and takes care of it and you collect that passive income. And that's my dream, 100%. But I think it's important to not do that starting off so you can know the ins and outs of this business. So when things are actually happening later down the road, no one can pull a sheet over your eyes and surprise you with anything because you've been there, done that. So I'd commend you for that. I think that's a great way for people to start. And also, I know the big thing out there right now is get into big multifamily first. And while I agree with that to some extent, because both you and I know the benefits of that, I also think for a lot of people, it's important maybe to start on the smaller side of multifamily and organically grow, just because like you said, you're going to learn things by getting your hands dirty. So I completely agree with that. And one question I want to ask, which I'm sure a lot of listeners are probably in the same space, they've got W-2 job, but they want to get to where you're at. How do you kind of balance that? That is a lot. Like, I know you're humble about it, but like, that's a lot to balance in one day, in one week, in one year.
That's the golden question, isn't it? How do you get that work-life balance, especially if you're trying to create your own business to get out of?
Yeah, I know there's probably no true balance, but how do you kind of make it work?
I have had to get extremely intentional from the beginning, and I wasn't always good at this, just to be honest, especially during the renovations at the fourplex. This was like 20 to 24 hour days of working 9-10 hours at work, and then coming home, working for another like 8 hours on the house to fix it up and get everything done and do all the Lowe's and Home Depot trips and make sure that everything's moving smoothly so that we could have stopped paying the giant mortgage that we didn't have the money to pay for.
Right.
So there were days there was no balance. It was all work. But I had to get extremely intentional moving past that to say, okay, here is the availability on my calendar. Only going to be available for a phone call, say from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. And then after that, I'll do one specific thing after that. And then I have to have lunch or I have to have dinner with the wife. And like no phones after 5 p.m. or 6 p.m. I had to write these goals down. And then I had to refresh my mind on a daily basis on what these goals were. Because you could write the goals down January 1st and think you're going to accomplish them and then never look at them again for the rest of the year until the end of the year. And you're like, well, I didn't really accomplish it. I wonder why. Maybe I'll just try for it again. Well, it's because you didn't have that daily reminder. So every morning, I actually do the miracle morning routine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Routine from Hal Elrod. And then in there, the last S of Savers is script with like journaling. And his idea of journaling is just like write something down, like write what your thoughts are, what you're envisioning. You could incorporate it into the visualization and those things, affirmations. But I actually bought the 90 Days of Intention Journal from Brandon Turner on Bigger Pockets. And that's kind of the journal that I do as a part of my morning routine, which you've got like 90 day goals, and then you have to figure out how you're going to attain them over the next 90 days, how you're going to attain them over the next month, over the next week, over the next day, next hour, next minute. And you just time block all these different things in your schedule. And so initially I was time blocking everything manually every morning. And I've since begun to be able to automate a lot of those things with things like Calendly and integrating ActiveCampaign and a lot of the back end stuff that we do here. And so that's made it easier as far as the time blocking portion goes.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, I just really had to be intentional. I couldn't let the schedule get away from me. I couldn't let the day get away from me. I have to say, okay, this is how it's going to be at this specific time. I'm going to be at this specific location doing this specific thing. Then after that, this is what's going to happen. A lot of people say, well, I'm not that like organized, or I like to have a little fluctuation. I can't do the same thing day to day. Well, that's okay. Then change it up. Say then 1 o'clock, you're going to do this one day. And then the next day it's going to be something completely different, but having some form of structure. I mean, you can even give yourself a 30-minute to 1 hour buffer if you just really need it. It's your schedule. You can really determine how you want it to look like, at least after you get out of the W-2. I'm actually still in the W-2. So I think that was the main question. When you're in it, it's a little more difficult to structure it because you are bound to the 9 to 5 or whatever your hours are. So then after that, the hours that you aren't at work, that's when I have to really be intentional. And for me, it's no phones after 7 p.m. or before 7 a.m. So in the morning, I'm able to really focus on the morning routine. I'm able to focus on time with my wife. And then after that, answering emails or whatever before work starts. And then work starts, doing work. And then after work, come home. And I usually have podcast interviews or emails or phone calls I got to do. And then I try to end the day by 7 p.m. Doesn't always happen, but that's the goal. That's how I have tried to balance those things.
Well, that's a lot of great points. I just want to unpack that because you hit on some really key things. One, you mentioned about try not to be on your phone after 7 before 7 a.m. over the past probably year, I started not sleeping in the bedroom with the phone. So I'll use something else. At this point, I kind of just get up on my own, but just in case, I'll have an alarm clock just in case. But it's been huge not having the phone in the room, because when you get to bed, you're scrolling through looking at stuff, and then an hour goes by and you need to go to bed. And then you wake up in the morning, you get on the phone and you're going through emails or what have you. And you're just like, to your point, you're not being intentional about your day. You're just, you know, scrolling through the phone. So that's helped me a lot. Two, the Calendly thing is huge. You just hit on that. And for the listeners that don't know what Calendly is, it's simply just an online platform that books out your calendar or scheduling, and you can set parameters of time. So you can say, I'm available from 7 a.m. till 9, but then from 9 till 3, I am not available. And then after 3 until you want to set a time at night, you're available. And then you send that link to people and you say, hey, just book a day and time on my calendar. They put in their name and email. It automatically pings you about the date they and the time they picked, their contact information, and it'll ping the person that calendar invite as well, and also tell them the form of communication. So like for us today, mine sent you a Zoom link automatically, but you can also have a phone number in there as well. So that's huge. And then the third thing I want to hit on is I do this as well. For those of you listening, I'm actually showing something, but it's my journal that I do every day. Josh, do you know who Andy Frisella is?
I don't.
He's a businessman, but he's also a thought leader and kind of like the kind of like self-improvement type thing, and also business as well. But his thing is he has this thing called the power list, and you put 5 critical tasks on it every day. You can either do it the night before, wake up and put them in, but it's supposed to be 5 critical things that are going to move the needle of your day. So for instance, if it's something you're not hitting, maybe you want to get to the gym more consistently, you can put it on there, or read a certain amount of pages a day, or it could be for us, like call a broker or send out mailers to try to find off market deals, just key things you want to hit every day. If you hit all 5, you put a W. If you don't, you put an L. And at the end of the week, if you have at least 3 W's, you won the week. And then if you have at least 3 weeks per month of W's, you won the month. And then if you have at least 7 months, well, hopefully you did better than 7 out of 12, but if you did 7 out of 12 months, you won the year.
Yeah. So. See, but there's something small that happens there when you do that. It's like those small wins continue to build momentum and build traction in your own mind of like, okay, this is possible. Okay, I'm doing this. And then not only the small wins, because you could have small wins and just not ever write it down, not ever remember it. It's the process of actually writing that down and tracking it, your key performance indicators. If you track anything, then it's something that you're way more intentional on than like anything else. Like if you never tracked like your workouts, how successful do you really think you're going to be at working out? You're going to go to the gym and lift 25 pound dumbbells and be curling them one day. And then the next day be like, I don't remember what I was curling. Maybe I was doing 20. Maybe I was doing 15. Maybe I was doing 50. I'll just grab whatever and do some curls and some random sets and some random reps. If there's no consistency or tracking, same thing with like sports, with a game. If you make something competitive, like you said, you won the month or you won the week, you won the year. If you're just playing a game of hoops, some basketball with some buddies, it's just a pickup game, you guys are having fun, then everyone's kind of relaxed. It's just fun. You guys are just hanging out. But then once you're like, okay, let's play a game of 21, like let's play to a certain number. Yep. And everyone's like, oh, you're going down. And then everyone gets so much more serious. It's like, okay, what's the score? And then people are like, a foul. You know, people are trying to get a lot more into it, and they're more intentional about the game once they are tracking those things.
It's so true. And yeah, like the gym point, you need to know where you were at in the previous week, previous month to know where you need to be. And just with anything, you just need to write it down. And one, it's to check, but it also, not like a doctor or a scientist, but there's like a chemical process that actually happens when you write it down. That one, kind of imprints it in your brain, but it's also conditioning you. And going back to the savers from Miracle Morning, you know, that's kind of conditioning your brain. You're manifesting it without even knowing it. So I think that's really important. But let's switch topics a little bit. You said something that's very interesting to me, because in this business, syndications, for those listeners that I'm sure most know what syndication is, but for those that don't, it's just a way for investors to pool their money together to invest into a private placement like real estate. You had said something very interesting to me, because part of syndicating is obviously raising funds to buy these deals, because you and I are not big private equity firms that just have ungodly amounts of money. We raise it from our limited partners, our private investors. But you said you were able to get $6 million in 30 days. That's just astonishing, especially so early on in your career. Just break that down for me. Like, that's, for a lot of people, I think that's unfathomable.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a lot to break down, but to try to give some kind of brief synopsis here, it was actually a money raising challenge that I heard about from a guy named Bill Allen, probably back in early June, because it was July when I actually started, when the challenge was like being executed, the full month of July. So it was probably mid to early June. He posted something on Facebook, said, "Hey, I'm doing this 500K money raising challenge. It's only going to be $100 to get in. And we're going to teach you, I'm going to teach you everything I know about raising money." And from what I knew about Bill was that he's extremely successful, had raised tens of millions of dollars in his like 4 to 5 year journey, like a really short journey. He went from nothing to a seven figure business. I'm like, this guy knows what he's doing. Obviously he's doing something right. The worst case scenario, I'll pay $100 and learn nothing. It's $100. Did I really lose out on anything? So I'm going to join this challenge and see what it's all about. So I joined it. We started July 1st, and very first day, every day we had like a video and a training lesson. So some little piece of educational information in the video. And then at the end, it would be like a challenge. Okay, this is what you need to do for today in order to continue to progress you further and move you towards the goal of raising $500,000 in these next 30 days. And so day one was, okay, you guys are going to do a Facebook Live for the next 30 days. You can go live once on Facebook every day for the next 30 days. And I'm like, oh gosh, I hated social media at the time. I was not active in anything. I had a Facebook, probably had over 1,000 friends, like old high school friends and church friends and people I just grew up with, but didn't really care about it. Didn't ever get on it. Didn't post. So I started doing these lives, like nervous as all get out. I'm just like jittering on it, you know, like, hey, what's going on? Like, doing a lot of the ums and ahs, you know, like, doing this challenge. And I just was trying to portray who I was more so than trying to pitch myself as some billionaire philanthropist that knows how to close multifamily deals and can take your money and make you millions. I was just trying to be like, I'm just a real dude. I'm an aircraft technician, but I also invest in multifamily. And so he mentioned you needed to talk about your family. You needed to talk about your faith, your hobbies, interests, your work, like what you actually do, whether it's syndication or flip houses or wholesale. But the point was, don't always talk about business. Like, don't always give the how-tos of, this is how you invest in real estate. Have you ever done this before? Don't invest in the stock market. Real estate's better. Do this, do that. Like, it was more, I probably had 6 days out of the full 30 days that I was actually specific to, hey, this is the structure of how we do a syndication. These are returns you might be able to expect. Mm-hmm. Like, did you know you could invest through an IRA or a 401k? Probably 6 or 7 days actually pertaining to that. Every other day, man, it was the randomest stuff that was just happening at the time that I just came up with and had a video on. I remember one day we were living in the fourplex, living on the second floor, 100-year-old house, no insulation, heat of the summer, AC breaks. So like 90 degrees in the unit. And I just turned the live on and was like, guys, I'm sitting here in my unit in shorts and like a tank top, just sweating. And, you know, I got the camera or the phone. Like, guys, it's so dang hot in here. I flipped the camera to the thermostat. It says it's 90 in there.
Oh, jeez.
And then I was showing my dog. My dog was like panting. And it was just such a simple video of like a day in the life of freaking broken AC and the struggles.
Right.
And so posted it and got like a ton of comments, ton of feedback. And it wasn't about, people weren't interested in the investing. People were like, man, that sucks. That's happened to me before.
Right. They can relate to you.
Right. That's why I don't buy 100-year-old houses. Like, people got all these laughing emojis, all this stuff. And then a lot of that started building relationships. And then those people were asking further questions, whether it was DM, scheduling a phone call, like, hey, saw your Facebook Live about it being hot or whatever. Like, that was hilarious. But I also noticed that, because in the caption I would post day 12 of 30, like 500K challenge or whatever. Like, but I also noticed in the caption that you're doing a money raising challenge. Like, what's that all about? And so that would spark the conversation of, well, I am raising money. I invest in multifamily. And then you go down the trail of telling them what you do. And then before you know it, you've got an interested investor, and all you did was talk about some broken AC in your unit.
How long would the lives be?
The lives, they were short, man. The longest one I had was probably 10 minutes, and that one was probably specific to an educational, like, here's the structure of a deal, yeah. Here's kind of what we're looking at long-term, 5 to 10 year hold or whatever. Explaining all of that, that was probably the longest one. And those videos, like the educational ones, they were the ones that got the least amount of interaction.
Oh, I'm sure.
That could have been just me. I don't know. My following wasn't very real estate investment specific, so it could have been me, but I quickly found out that people were a lot more interested in me as a person than what the heck I was pitching as an investment or whatever.
And they want to be able to relate to something because they can't necessarily relate to you as the multifamily investor because they probably don't do that. But someone who has AC that goes down and they're dying in their apartment, they can relate to that. So I think it just hits to your point of, you know, this is about building relationships. You're not just going to, unless you're a huge name, you're not just going to market a deal and people are like, oh, I'm going to invest. That's a good deal. I don't know who this Josh guy is, but let's invest in this. It's both you and I know that's not how it works. It's like, oh, this Josh guy is a great guy, someone that I can connect with. And on top of that, he obviously knows his stuff. He knows what he's doing. So I'm going to invest with him. Like, I trust him. I don't even know what the deal is, but when he brings it to me, I trust him.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. 100% of the time people are investing in you long before they're investing in the deal. And the deal is just kind of like a byproduct of the relationship they have with you and this opportunity that you're providing. They're more interested in investing in you than the deal. And so figuring that out was another big thing. At the beginning of this challenge, he was opening up our mindset on, you need to realize that you guys are providing opportunities. Like, there's way more money out there than there is real estate deals or good operators to run these assets. And then he gave us some crazy statistic on how there's like trillions of dollars and it's like IRAs or something. And I was like, are you serious? Like that was just one specific, you know, class.
It's about 17.
Something insane. And I'm like, what on earth? There's so basically it was just like, there's so much money out there. You just have to go meet these people, get them to know, like, and trust you and realize that you're not out there begging for money. Like, hey, please give me money. I'm raising it for this challenge or for this deal. I need it. No, it's like, hey, if right for you, if your goals and my goals align, if we like each other as human beings, and then this could be something that we could do. Or even if all those things align, but the timing isn't right for them, then maybe we should wait. Or they're having to invest their emergency savings. Well, I don't recommend that. So we'll just let you keep that there and we'll wait till you get a little bit more money. So figuring out what's best in it for the end user, the end investor, really helped me a lot, because then they felt like they were what was more important than anything. Like, during the phone call, they felt like they were really important. Like, I was really listening. I was really caring, taking a lot of notes so that I could then write that down in all of my spreadsheets, just so I could track back to the KPIs, track who needed what. Like, this person's got 50,000. They're only interested in C-class assets. They're only interested in Mobile, Alabama. It has to be this certain specific number of like unit count. So then I know when I get a deal, who to send these things out to, because I could just blast it, but that gets annoying. And then you're not really different than anyone else. So I wanted to be like, okay, I'm gonna just have all these different like lists, you know, of individuals interested in certain things. And I'll be sure to send this specific person out the deal that meets their criteria. Cause they're like, okay, he really listened and he's cool and the deal's good. It's like all these good things pile up and now they want to invest with you even more. So I probably raised about $1 million between 25 to 30 investors. And then from $1 million to $6 million, it was strictly referrals.
Wow.
Strictly asking people at the end of the call, instead of exchanging pleasantries, which is nice. I mean, still do that, but don't end it with the pleasantries and be like, hey, thanks so much for giving me the chance to talk to you, whatever. I'll let you know. I'll keep you updated. We'll stay in touch. Instead of ending it with that, I always ended every phone call with, do you happen to know anyone else that might be interested in an opportunity like this? And it's like the law of reciprocation. I mean, more often than not, people were like, yeah, you know, I do know someone that's been talking to me about the stock market or investing of some sort, or my uncle's got a lot of money. I don't know. He's never mentioned anything about real estate, but I knew he's got money. Maybe he'd be interested, or whatever it is. And what's really surprising is even the people that said no, people that said, no, I'm not interested ever, or no, now's not a good time, or I don't have any money right now, or whatever. Even those people had people that they could introduce me to. I probably had like maybe three people that just said no, like, no, I don't have anyone. And I'm like, all right, no problem. Thanks so much. And then you exchange the pleasantries. But asking the question at least opens up so many more opportunities. I mean, I had just one phone call with a guy who had $50,000 to invest. And then at the end, I asked him about the referral. He was like, I do know someone. We used to be friends, or I used to work with him or something. He's in the oil and gas industry. Let me connect you with him. So I got that warm introduction instead of him just giving me the dude's phone number. And then I call him and say, hey, your buddy told me you got money to invest. That's weird. That's not going to work. I needed a warm introduction of either of us all getting on the phone at the same time, or on a Zoom, or whatever, or an email like, hey, met this guy. He's really cool. He does such and such investments. I know you're interested. Here's his contact information in case you want to know more, or just something along those lines, some kind of warm introduction. So then I take over from there, talk to the guy. Well, at the end of the phone call, the dude had $3 million to invest. And I was like, nice. I couldn't even fathom at that time that one particular individual would have that amount of money to invest. But since then, it's just grown and scaled and found even more people with more access to capital, like more individuals with even higher levels of accessibility. And so it was being genuine and asking for the referrals was what was pivotal to that challenge for me.
Yeah, that's huge. I think to me, referrals is the best and fastest way to grow in this business in terms from a capital raising standpoint. What I do is very similar to you. Instead of asking, like, I'll have the initial conversation with someone, but instead of asking them for money, I'll ask, do they know anyone that would be interested in this kind of investment? And two things will happen. One, the person will be like, yes, this person, so-and-so, or it could both could happen. They'll be like, what about me? And the right person will self-select, because one, they're either going to be like, wait, why isn't he thinking of me? Like the whole fear of missing out type thing, or am I not good enough for this? Why not me? So then they'll self-select, which is even better. And then they'll also refer you. And that's the best way to grow, in my opinion. And I think some people just like being able to facilitate things. They'll be like, oh yeah, I set Josh up with that guy. Now one of his investors is like, okay, thank you. That's great. And yeah, so I completely agree with that. That's the best way. But that challenge seems very interesting. And I think anyone who's in this space and wants to up their capital raising game, I would highly recommend that. I'll put in the show notes of where to check that out. Hopefully Josh gets a commission off that. But
I don't get any commission, but I tell you what, I've actually considered with a buddy of mine, we're considering putting our own challenge together.
Oh, you should.
Giving out all the educational information that we've learned throughout the process. You know, he's raised a ton of money. I've probably raised $7 million at this point. So bringing our combined knowledge together of what we know, and then sharing all of that in a similar fashion to the way that the Bill did, but considering doing our own just because we want to help even more people.
Oh, that's great. Well, hey, if you do it, I'll jump on that challenge. I'll get on it. So I guess what's on the horizon for you? I know you mentioned 1,000 units.
Yes, 1,000 units is on the horizon. We really want to get, my wife and I specifically really want to get out of our W-2 jobs this year. We're living in Mobile now. This kind of Gulf Coast panhandle spot, Northern Alabama, Florida panhandle is kind of where we're focused in as a niche market. But I'm from Memphis, and that's where my family is. That's where her family is. We really just kind of want to move closer to family.
Yeah.
And I can't do that now with the W-2 being here. So if we can get out of the W-2, then we're not tied to any one specific spot due to jobs, because the business is making me money, making me passive income. So we would then move back to Memphis. That's one of our big goals this year, is just to get out of the W-2 and then kind of take everything from there. But definitely the 1,000 units, that's a massive goal. We probably got about 600 or 700 units worth of LOIs out now. So we'll see how quickly we can actually achieve that goal. Some of them are more promising than others, but you know, you'll never know if you'll get it or if it's a deal if you never try. So
yeah, it's a numbers game for sure.
Try to submit as many LOIs as we can that make sense for us, deals that we think our investors would like.
How are you finding these deals?
Primarily through brokers. We thought about doing the cold calling and the direct to seller, you know, at marketing. And we just found out that the best use of our time was to build extremely strong relationships with 3 to 4 high level brokers in the markets that we're niched in, rather than build hundreds of different relationships with hundreds of different sellers and all the different markets. Cause I mean, the broker's end goal is our job is to create these relationships with buyers and sellers so that they can provide deals so that they can even make money. So they can get a commission. A lot of people say, well, don't you want to not have to pay that commission? Or, you know, you could get it cheaper if you didn't go through a broker. And it's like, maybe so, but I mean, he worked hard for it, just like I'm working hard for it. I'd rather let him do what he's got to do and what I know that he's really good at. I'll do what I'm really good at, which is investor relations and raising money. And we'll just all come together and make money. I don't feel like anyone needs to make less money or not be involved in the process. I'd rather just hyper-focus on what I'm extremely good at and then let everyone else hyper-focus on what they're good at, so we can do more and more deals and scale quicker and together, and more people can benefit and we can change the world much faster.
Right.
Everyone benefits in that scenario.
For sure. And like the amount of time and money you have to put in to source off-market deals by direct to seller, who knows how much you're going to be saving at the end of the day by not having that broker's fee. And to me, it's not, like you said, my time, your time is better used in other avenues of this business than that. Like, don't get me wrong, it's a great way to deals, but it's also a great way to build real, you can build relationships with brokers and they'll bring you off market deals. And right. What's better than that? All you did was build a relationship. And if you build a relationship with someone you like, that's not work. And then they bring you a deal. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm with you on that. But before I let you go, something I like to ask all my guests is there's a lot of podcasts out there. There's those people that just listen and they get all excited. And there's obviously this podcast had some great nuggets on it. So thank you for that. But at the end of the day, you got to take action. So my question to you is, if you could give one action item, one step that someone could take after listening to this podcast, what would it be to further their career, whether it's in multifamily, whatever they're doing, how to kind of achieve those goals?
Well, being that we talked about the balance of work and then raising capital, I would say the easiest, most simple step that someone could take trying to eventually get out of the W-2 and go into a business, real estate, or whatever it is that you're shooting for would be to be intentional about your actions. Get extremely intentional about where you're headed, where you want to head, the actual direction that you are headed in. Are you trying to go this way, but you're really headed this way? Mm-hmm. Do you need to course correct and figure out what you need to make more of a priority? Like, well, I really want to work out more, but I seem to be eating a lot more potato chips and McDonald's. So maybe we need to fix that. Maybe we need to eat a little healthier. Or maybe I need to go to the gym more. I need to get an accountability partner. I'm not spending as much time with my family or my wife as I want to. Maybe I need to fix that. I need to get more intentional about the calendar. Don't let things just slip away. And like you said, just be scrolling on Instagram or Facebook or whatever. Put the phone down, have specific times for certain things. Just be as intentional as possible. And I would recommend reading The Miracle Morning. He's got a bunch of different versions of it. I read Miracle Morning Millionaires because that was what I was trying to become and trying to be. So I was hyper-focusing on that. But then also you could get the journal you were talking about, or you could get Brandon Turner's 90 Day of Intention Journal. And those two pieces of information right there were huge to continuing to point me and keep me steered in the right direction.
Thank you. That's awesome. The intention will change your life. If you live your life with intention, you'll get those goals. You'll get to where you want to be. Well, Josh, I really thank you for your time, man. This has been a great podcast and I know so many people are going to get a lot of value out of it. So I just want to thank you for your time.
Yeah. Glad I could be.
Oh, before I let you go, I don't want to be rude. I forgot to ask, where can people find you?
Yeah, people can find me at ferraricapital.com. We've got a free ebook on there. It's called like The Ultimate Guide to Investing in Multifamily Syndications. Just kind of gives you the structure, the background, the ins and outs of what it even looks like to invest in one, how to vet your sponsor, We've also got some blog posts on the website, a monthly newsletter that you can sign up for, which most people sign up for the actual market data that we provide, mm-hmm. more so than even investment opportunities. So whatever you like, you know, it's an educational piece of information. It's market data on a monthly basis in our niche markets. And then any new deals or investment opportunities we have coming up are there. We also got a podcast called Creative Capital. You can check that out on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to music. And then we also started a YouTube channel, which it's only just the video versions of our podcast interviews. Nothing crazy, but if you just really like to see the video versions, then you can go check that out. And then lastly, well, I guess not lastly, but you can check us out on social media as well. I think it's Ferrari Capital on Instagram and then Josh Ferrari on LinkedIn and Facebook. But lastly, I mentioned earlier, we're thinking about starting this money raising challenge. So I just want to say that you guys should keep an eye out for it. If you're interested in learning how to raise money, learning how I raised a ton of money and how he's raised a ton of money in his career. Just keep your eye out for that.
That's awesome. I'll be keeping my eye out for that too. And you know, as soon as I see it, I'll post it on my social medias as well. So well, I just want to thank you again, Josh. It's been great. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad to have been given the honor to be on your show.
Now the honor is mine. Later, my friend.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial services industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.